Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. I'm Michaela Gration. Today, we're going back to Christmas 1964 and a story about a pirate ship. But in this case, the pirates weren't the type involved in thieving on the high seas. They were radio pirates, breaking the rules of broadcasting to play a style of music the British public wanted to hear. In Britain in the early 1960s, there was no commercial radio, and the Kinks on the wireless was a rarity, if at all. More common was this sort of music, heard on BBC Radio's Light programme on Christmas Eve 1964.
I'm going to see you today. All's well with my world and the people that I meet.
But the Irish businessman Ronan O'Rahilly wasn't happy. He couldn't get airtime for the bands he promoted, so he started his own music radio station. At the time, the BBC had a monopoly on the airwaves, and so, because he couldn't set up an authorised station on UK soil, Ronan set up his own radio station on a ship. He called it Radio Caroline.
Have yourself a tank, tune into Caroline and cardboard shoes. Keith Skews.
Keith Skews was one of the first DJs on Radio Caroline. He only got the job by chance when he met a man in a bar in Mayfair, in London.
And there was a chap sitting in the corner, it was a semicircular bar, and he leant over and he said, hi, that's good, eh? With a voice like that, have you ever thought of going in the radio? And I said, I beg your pardon, what are you trying to say? No, he said, you ordered that lager side again. Incidentally, he came from Australia, but that's not a very good Australian accent, I'm afraid, probably more like Birmingham. The gentleman, who shall remain nameless, gave me a sheet of paper and said, read that, will you? Just let's hear the voice. And I said, and now, direct from a ship almost anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you've got the job.
Well, with all these interviews this afternoon, we at Radio Caroline can honestly say it's getting mighty crowded.
It's getting mighty crowded. I'm telling you, it's getting mighty.
Radio Caroline was anchored off the coast of England, just out of reach of British law. Broadcasting from 6 in the morning until 6 at night, it quickly pulled in a big audience. At one stage, it was thought more than 12.5 million people were listening. It was an impressive figure, given Britain's population at the time of about 54 million. And by many accounts, it was the less professional, less polished sound that people liked.
I see my snowman go.
You played a record, you put a record on the turntable, and mysteriously you played it at the wrong speed, which is very easy to do, or you could play the other side of the record accidentally. And you say, oh, I'm terribly sorry, I seem to have played the wrong side, I'll just turn the record over, and then you'd lean away, and then you'd turn it over, and off you went. Well, they liked that, when things went wrong.
And plenty of things did. The cargo ship was cramped, and there were gale-force winds.
In wintertime, it was bad. With force 8, force 9, force 10 gales, you were thrown literally from one side of the ship to the other. It was horrendous. When a record was playing, it would just scratch the record. We couldn't get round it initially, and then somebody came up with the bright idea of the coinage we had at the time. There was a half crown, which was quite a heavy coin, and we put that on top of the record, which meant that the record would stay on even if we got bumped into by another ship or a force 8 gale.
I am the little red rooster. Two legs and a crow.
Life on board could be tough in other ways. For some, there was seasickness, and the DJs slept in tiny shared cabins.
Two legs and a crow for day.
In 1964, the charts were full of great songs. The trouble was, the records weighed the ship down, so Keith gave some of them away to his listeners. He worked 2 weeks on, 1 week off, then escaped for a bit of normal life on land. Fans would sometimes meet him when he returned to shore.
There were always a lot of young ladies. Some were schoolgirls, some were teenagers, some were young housewives, and they were there to greet you and say hello and give you presents. And we, in turn, would take out some singles, records. You know, we'd get loads and loads on the ship, weigh the ship down. So we'd bring some ashore and give them to our fans, as we used to call them. And they were genuine. They'd ask for your autograph and they'd take photographs. That was very, very pleasant. They just wanted to chat and they wanted to see if you were real.
Radio Caroline was taking on the British establishment, challenging not just broadcasting laws, but how radio sounded. The pirates were proud of their audience and they wanted recognition. In 1964, Radio Caroline approached the BBC asking for permission to play the Queen's Christmas message.
30th of November 1964. C. Curran Esquire, BBC, Portland Place, London, W1. Dear Mr. Curran, with reference to our conversation today, I would be very grateful if you would inform me whether it would be possible to obtain a transcription of the Queen's Christmas broadcast for Radio Caroline. We would like to transmit the broadcast at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day. Would you kindly let me know if it would be possible, as we would like to finalise our Christmas broadcasting schedules. Yours faithfully, David Block, Public Relations Officer.
And the BBC's response? Also in the archives, we found this memo referring to that conversation. Here's what C.J. Curran had to say about it. He was the BBC official that Radio Caroline's David Block had spoken to.
Record of telephone conversation with David Block. I asked Block whether he represented an authorised broadcasting station. He was unable to give me a satisfactory reply, but referred to the authorisation which he had considered to be provided by 12.5 million listeners. I said that I could not take him seriously, and added that if and when he could provide evidence of his credentials as the representative of an authorised broadcasting station, we might be able to consider his request. Signed, Charles Curran.
Well, we may have been rebellious in the way we went about broadcasting the pop music we played. We rebelled most certainly against the government, but we had the highest respect for Her Majesty and the royal family, and it was our intention really to prove to the government and the BBC, if they wanted to listen, that we wanted to be treated as a legitimate radio station. OK, we weren't legalised commercial radio station in England, but a legitimate radio station. We wanted respect, we wanted recognition, and both the BBC and the government refused to play ball.
In 1967, a change in the law forced Radio Caroline to up anchor and move away from the English coast. But acknowledging the demand for popular music, the British government urged the BBC to set up its own all-music station. A few years later came Britain's first commercial music stations. Keith Skews still works in radio. He's not exactly a DJ anymore. Now he's called a radio presenter. And guess who he works for? BBC Radio in the East of England. He was speaking to me, Michaela Gratian, for our history programme, Witness. For our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.